Welcome to Harvest with Sierra and Lee. We are excited to bring you a brand new series where we will be discussing all areas of womanhood with some of our dearest heroes.
And we know that this can typically be overused and undertaught, but hang with us as we take a deeper dive into a Proverbs 31 woman. And we can't promise that it won't sound cliche at times, but we are hoping that this series will bring a fresh conviction and a hunger to be everything that God has called us to be.
We hope you enjoy The Making of a Godly Woman, a work in progress. Welcome to Harvest. We're so excited to be with you guys today. I'm Lee.
I'm Sierra.
And we are so stoked to have our wonderful, dear friend, another dear hero.
Adiro.
Bronwyn Wideman.
Yes, she is all things wonderful. And when we were thinking about just like who to have on this podcast, Bronwyn was an overwhelming choice. Totally. Because if you know her even a little, you know her thought life and her walk with the Lord is deep. And it's rich, and she is.
And it trickled into every aspect.
Every
of what
aspect.
She puts her hands to.
Yes. She's like all things feminine. Mm-hmm. When I just think of her, I think like she is a real woman of the Lord.
Yeah.
And it is like, we already recorded the episode, but I just keep thinking back and I'm like, I could have her on here for 5 more times.
I know. Because it's like, you want to come back for coffee and maybe we'll just put the microphones down.
Yeah.
I still want to glean so much from you.
I just am like, I could listen to anything you say because you know, it's not just like a load of crap.
Totally. Like, she lives it out. We've seen it.
Yes. I've been in her home. Mm-hmm. We actually work quite closely to Bronwyn, and it's just every time I'm like, I leave a little more impressed by her. And so I think you guys are really going to love listening to her. Her voice is great.
Yes.
Her stories are great.
Yes.
Like,
and she's funny.
She's so
deep.
And she's really artistic. So some of the things that she says, you guys, you're going to want to pause, take notes, take a minute.
That's right.
Because there's like some one-liners she hit us with and my brain couldn't even comprehend them as she was saying it. I'm like, I'm staring her in her face, looking at her, and I'm like, I need to pause.
Still
this.
Still processing.
And I want to take this note down.
Yeah.
So I want to encourage you, if you can listen to this one at home or
not driving.
Yeah. And if you have to, like if that's your only time, like just know that like you might want to pause sometimes.
Yeah, this may be one you want to listen to again.
Yes. Maybe a twofer because
that's right.
It
was so good. That's right. And so she hits on the scripture. We're still in Proverbs 31. We're still learning how to glean wisdom from this.
A little
woman.
Less eye rolling.
A little less eye rolling every single time.
Every single
feels
time.
A little more attainable and like, okay, the Lord has good purpose here.
Yeah.
So we're gonna reference Proverbs 31:12-16. And it says, "She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. She goes to inspect a field and buys it. With her earnings, she plants a vineyard for the Lord."
Mm. No, you did great. I'm just remembering everything Bronwyn said. And I'm just like,
it's so good.
You guys.
We're so excited for you to listen to it.
I can't even wait for y'all to listen to it. It's so good. And so we really hope that this brings a little inspiration.
Yeah.
A little, not like a big burn, but like a gentle
push.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A breath of fresh air when you think about your home.
That's right.
And we feel like Bronwyn just like, she killed it. She
killed
did
it.
So good.
She hit the nail on the head. Yeah. We really hope you enjoy episode 3, The Making of a Godly Woman, Home Progress. Welcome to Harvest. I'm Lee.
I'm Sierra.
And we are so stoked to have our friend Bronwyn with us.
Hi, Bronwyn.
Thank you so much for being with us today. We cannot wait to dig into all that you have to tell us about progress in our homes.
Yes.
We've already talked about progress in marriage.
And progress in general.
In general. We all
like, because you're a work in progress. Yeah, us.
For sure, I am a work in
all
progress.
All of us are works in progress.
No offense taken. But before we get into all of that deep, really wonderful, heart-stirring stuff, we are going to enter our... Was that not okay?
No, I loved it. I was like, in my mind, I was like, yes, deep, heart-stirring, all of the things. These are the episodes I look forward to the most. I'm like, anytime someone can come in here and make me a better homemaker, I'm like,
Totally. But we're going to start off with...
Wouldn't you like to know? We didn't even practice that.
Ooh.
Okay. So when I asked Bronwyn for some fun facts to post on Instagram the other day, she told us this little fact about herself. And I am dying. I'm dying to know. So, Bronwyn, tell us a fun fact about yourself.
Okay, fun fact number one I gave you, I think, was that I was almost an actress.
Almost. I need to know.
We need the details.
But I wasn't. So.
But I wasn't.
I'm not sure how it started, other than I really did like theater. Did you guys like theater?
Oh, yeah.
Were you in a play?
I was in one play in third grade, and it was called, I don't remember what it was called, but my group was called the Rapping Christmas Presents, and we literally wrapped a Christmas song. We were like, doo, 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 and we dressed in these big boxes.
That's amazing. Iconic.
That is the extent of my theater career.
Wow.
I was a thespian through and through.
Were you?
I was.
Yeah. I could tell. Well, so I really enjoyed the theater. Yes. What I really wanted to do, this is the most embarrassing thing. What I really wanted to do was be a runway model.
Ooh.
That's not really embarrassing.
No, it's not.
At all.
So my parents, my sweet parents, they just believed in us.
Yeah.
And they were just got behind whatever we wanted to do. And my mom and my dad took me to this conference. To become a runway model.
I love them.
But the people that were coaching me were like, you're kind of short, so maybe you should also try this acting thing as well. And they were like, but also maybe you shouldn't do runway because you're not going to be very tall.
Aww.
Yeah.
Jokes on them because you're kind of tall.
I did kind of feel a little crushed when that was happening. But then they were like, you should do commercial modeling, which is where you make the most money anyways. Oh. I was like, I don't want to do that. Mm. And then I thought to myself, well, maybe I'll just be an actress.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like something I could do.
Yeah. And you didn't.
Yeah. Well, I went to the conference. And the conference was basically you were being interviewed by a bunch of agents. Mm-hmm. So you walk the runway, you do a bunch of monologues, all this stuff. It was huge in Florida.
Wow.
And I had an agent.
Really?
Yeah.
LeBron.
This is so funny to me. They lived, it was like states away.
Oh my gosh.
And the one audition they pulled my headshot for, like my resume. Uh-huh. So it kind of piddled out. But the one thing they pulled my...
I can't wait to hear this.
I was like 14 and they pulled my, they were like, they called and they were like, hey, we have a spot. We really want you to go try out for this movie. And my mom was like, great. What is it? Where? And they were like, oh, well, it's for Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
No.
And I was like,
Bronwyn.
Absolutely not. No. My mom was like, oh, thanks for considering us. Like, we're going to say no.
That is the best thing ever.
I want to know what they saw in your headshot that thought yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't tell you. I have no idea. I didn't go. After that, there was a season of my life where I worked at a studio for film and television.
Ooh,
yeah. You know who Glenn Beck is?
Yeah.
Okay. In Las Colinas. Yeah.
Yes.
And so I worked for this man that owned this
studio
that it was hilarious.
That's amazing.
And this is just a short season. You have this, you have places like seasons of your life.
For sure.
You just look back and you think, why?
How did that happen?
How
did I get
Texas
there?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. They're like, she lives in Texas. That feels right.
Absolutely.
Maybe that was it. They're like, it's a true
they're
Texas
like, they're
girl.
Like pulling all these out. They're like, Alabama, Georgia, Idaho. No, Texas.
There she is. That's the one.
That's my girl.
I had to ask my mom. I was like, Mom, what is that? She's like, we're not talking about it.
Yeah, we're not even going there.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Hey,
that's hilarious.
So that's my fun fact.
That is the best story I've ever heard, Bronwyn.
It was awesome.
And I love it so much. Lee?
Okay.
Can you top that?
No. Definitely not. I was just going to go with I'm an only child. Fun fact.
What? I'm an only child.
You are?
Yeah. I have two half-sisters that I didn't meet or know about until I was 12, like 11 or 12. And that was also fun to live my first portion of my life at home being an only child. I still lived my whole life being an only child because they're much older than me. So they have children that are just a little bit younger than me. And so all of my nieces and nephews are just kind of stair stepped underneath me. And now one of my nephews has a baby. And so that makes my mom a great grandmother.
That's hilarious.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
It's really wild. But my dad was really old. Like, he was much older than my mom. He's like 16 years older than my mom.
Wow.
And so they got married. And I can remember when I was in third grade, I told one of my best friends, her name's Carly. Carly Reynolds. We were best friends from like kindergarten through like, I don't know, early high school. And I told her, I was like, I cannot believe my dad's going to be 50 this weekend. And she was like, no way your dad is 50. My papa just turned 50. And I was like, I'm pretty sure he is 50.
You're like, I'm going to go back and check with my mom, but I'm pretty sure. Your mom's like, yeah, I'm just 37. It's okay.
Yep.
Sweet. Okay, Shelly.
I know.
16 years. It's a different time.
It was a different time. But I think that still happens. 16 years doesn't feel so bad later in life, I feel like. I mean, that's a big gap.
When you're in your 50s.
Well, I know, but like, it doesn't feel like that big of a gap.
I don't know. Can you imagine your 20-year-old being like, just going out with my 42-year-old husband?
I mean, I hope he makes
a lot
of money.
That's not 16 years, but I'm like, that feels like a huge gap until you're in your like 30s.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, totally.
It's like Boaz and Ruth.
Yeah. Okay. So my fun fact's not nearly as fun or as entertaining as Bronwyn's, but it's something that maybe a lot of people don't know.
If they listen to this podcast, they for sure know that.
Well, welcome to
remember that time where you said that your whole life you only had your parents just telling you.
True. There's nothing wrong with you.
Nothing wrong with you. That's a total only child.
Oh, yeah.
Only child vibe.
Only child vibe. I do everything right.
So funny.
It's kind of what I felt like. I joke around with Ryan a lot, used to more, but I'm like, you're literally the first person of authority in my life that's ever told me no. It was like a big point of like contention. Like, how can you tell me no so quickly and so often and so passionately?
You're like, have you seen me?
Don't you know how often? My world works?
I love that. Do you know what's also funny? Is I felt like an only child, but I'm the youngest of five. And so I'm like, there's 0% chance I'm an only child.
Yeah,
like, right. I grew up with a ton of siblings. But when I look back, I'm like, oh, that's like an only child. But I think it's just because I have baby syndrome.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Like, when you're the baby of the family, you just, life is just different.
It's just different.
It's just different. And it's kind of wonderful. So when I look back, I'm like, I had all of the joys of a brother and sister.
Uh-huh.
I loved it.
And none of the stress.
I think it's because in high school, everybody was older than me and moved out.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And so there was a good 4 years where I was just by myself. And I'm like, it was a good life.
Yeah, right.
I had a good time.
I think about that for Ian a lot, especially when I see his little tantrums come out. I'm like, ain't no way Maddox, Abram, or Eli would have gotten away with this. Like, you are almost 8 years old. Get it together. So many things. Get it together. But we've done it to ourselves. I don't know. I just...
It's the baby. 100%. It's the baby.
The last one.
That's what gets you. The other day, this is off topic, but the other day, Crew was so frustrated with something. He was so frustrated. Abel had like taken toy after toy after toy, and he was so mad and he wanted to retaliate, but Abel had run away too quickly and he couldn't stand up to retaliate. And so he just starts punching the side of my couch. My 2 year old. He's like, boom, boom, boom. And he's like screaming like this. He goes, ah! And I'm like, Crew Thomas. And then I just thought for a split second, I was like, oh, that's how I act sometimes. I was like, he 100% got that from me. Like, you just get so frustrated.
I'm like, let it out.
I don't retaliate on anyone, but I'm like, this is my little Crew bear. I was like, also, I would have never let Abel or Nora do that, but he needed that moment. Some last babies.
All right, Sierra, what's your fun fact?
I let us right into it.
Oh, yes, you did.
I thought you were
going to say something about lettuce.
I know, that's what I was thinking.
Let us pray. Abel loves eating lettuce. I have currently two 2-year-olds and they're not twins. That's my fun fact.
So cool.
I don't think it's like that big of a news to anyone anymore because they were all here when I was pregnant with Crew.
It just sounds, I mean, it's a hit. That hits different. 2-year-old is a whirlwind of an age and you got two of them.
I got two of them for the rest of the month into April.
Wow.
I got two more.
2-year-old boys.
Two 2-year-old boys that are not twins because they are 11 months apart.
It's insane.
It is insane, actually. Thank you for that because it was a tough year when they were babies. It's better now. It's a lot better now.
I can remember you sitting and just being like, there's no way. There's no way. How? You're like, Abel is still in a carrier. Crew will be in a carrier. How do I get out of the car by myself? Like, Nora is just now capable of like walking independently without me like
all the
picking
things.
Her up. And like helping her along. And then in my mind, I just was like, I th- think you can do it. I'm like, I don't know how either, but I think you can. So awesome.
And you did, and you have. Did.
You know, I prayed really hard that Abel would learn to walk before I had Crew. I prayed so hard for that. And then when he was like 10 months old, he just started walking. Gosh. And I was like, Lord,
thank you.
If you've ever heard a cry, you heard that one, my man, because I was so stressed.
Yes.
Trying to figure, it feels like twins would have almost been easier. To anybody who has twins, I'm so sorry if that's not true. But
she's like, but this was really hard.
But because they're all on the same, like they're taking the same bottles, or you're breastfeeding, like they have the same schedule. They're in the same size diapers, like clothes. It's just in my mind, I'm like, it almost would have been easier, but instead I had to jump a whole year. So I'm like, you're taking a bottle away from one while you're introducing a bottle to another one.
Yeah, and that doesn't feel fair. Same with passies.
Everything
else.
And there was so much that Abel would just walk up to Crew and just take it.
Yeah.
Or I would be trying to nurse Crew and Abel would just come Hulk smash him and try to nurse. And I'm like, you haven't even nursed in like a month or three. I don't know. Leave me alone. It was so, I'm like, sometimes I think it would have been easier.
It's a super fun fact.
It is a fun rare. Time in my life.
Like, not a lot of people have that experience.
Did you also know that Irish twins are actually considered 14 months as an Irish twin?
Oh, yeah. I did know that. Yeah.
These are just
Irish
extra Irish twins.
My mom read and her sister are 13 months apart. Ryan and his brother are 13 months apart.
My brother and sister are 13 months apart.
Yep. It just hits different.
When it's less than a year. I'm like, no, thank you.
That's crazy. All right. Okay. I think we're ready to jump in.
Yes.
Let's get all the content.
Now that we have our very dear actress with us.
I know. You know what? It's coming to me why you're so good at our Christmas play production. Like, if you have a deep love for theater, I'm like, duh. No wonder she's so good at it. You're like making all the notes. You're awesome.
Aren't you going to audition this year?
We thought about it.
Are you still thinking about it?
We're still thinking about it.
I'm just like,
it'd be fun.
Like a little Adam and Eve vibe.
Little Adam and Eve vibe.
I think it would be really sweet with your husband because we wouldn't have to coach the uncomfortableness out.
Totally.
Like, hey, bud, put your hand on her hand.
Yeah.
Michael will be like, got it.
Got it.
He's like, what about her shoulder?
That's fun.
It's so much fun.
Christmas play. So much fun.
I know.
So much fun.
It's the highlight of my year. Also the highlight of my stress. But...
Okay, so we're going to go to our new segment, which is Harvest Edition, Bible translations. That's okay. We're just going to read it.
Okay.
All right, so I'll read it, and then we'll just give you a quick what we think it's saying. Mm-hmm. Remember, this is not based off of any real theology. This is just me and Leanne being hilarious. Okay, Proverbs 31, verse 13. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it. She is like a merchant's ship bringing her food from afar. She gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plan the day's work for her servant girls. Mm. First, I would like servant girls.
I know.
That sounds amazing.
I think they're called oldest children.
I think that you have those.
Bummer. I need my servant girl to just get a little older. Okay. All right. She finds wool and flax and busily spins it.
Mm-hmm. She's like... working with her hands to provide her, for her family.
She's making things.
She's making things.
With wool.
Gosh.
What do you make with flax, Bronwyn?
Flax?
Yeah.
I thought it was a food.
Oh, yeah.
You can eat flax.
Flax seed. Yeah. Yeah, but I think you can spin it too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
To make things. Mm-hmm. Like clothing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Linen.
She's like
textiles.
Yeah.
She's like a merchant's ship bringing her food from afar.
Interesting.
Not fast food. That's what I'm hearing.
Mm.
That's my translation.
She's
in her merchant's ship from afar.
I may or may not have bribed my children with pizza last night.
We had pizza last night. But that's because I had a headache.
I hate pizza. And I still was like, listen, I'll order if y'all clean the whole downstairs. I want every bit of this out of here.
I love the promises. The if you clean up all of these things, I will give you 3 chocolate chips.
Yes.
Yes.
I wish we were in that 100%.
Stage.
I'm like, 50 bucks, 50 bucks worth of pizza. Versus 3 chocolate chips.
3 chocolate chips works for us right now.
Enjoy this stage, okay?
No, I wish. We also, we did pizza last night too. It did not come from afar. It just came from down the road, so failed on that one.
I don't make anything except for meals sometimes. And I definitely...
I don't make our clothes. I can sew-ish. I'm not making clothing, but... But you know who does?
Who?
Bronwyn.
Oh, that's right.
That's why she's here.
The epitome of the verse is sitting with us.
And then last part, she gets up before dawn to prepare breakfast for her household and plans a day's work for her servant girls. First off, she's not lazy. Mm-mm. She's up before dawn. It's a different time. First, I'd like to say that. but before she's not lazy.
Isn't terribly early right now, right?
No.
What is that, like it's, six?
I mean, you get up at six right now.
Who does?
5:30. Oh.
Do you do?
Well, I do have an infant, so yes. he needs some sustenance in the morning. Yeah. So, yeah. You know, 5:36, it's yeah. still dark.
Yeah, it is still, dark.
But it's not that, I mean, 5:30.
We're not talking like a little early. Fours.
Yeah.
No. It's the 4 o'clock hour that always makes me feel a little sick to my stomach. Like,
yes.
I'm going to set my alarm for 4:45. I'm like,
I was reading a book before bed last night, and she like talked about how she was so desperate to like carve out time with the Lord. She's like, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll get up between the hours of 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. to meet with you. Gosh. And I thought to myself, do I love God as much as she loves God? Because 2 a.m. to 3 a.m. felt real scary.
Feels like real precious hours of sleep.
I was like,
she's really sacrificing something.
She was really that was her whole point. She was sacrificing.
Yeah, totally.
But
and it's
I started setting my alarm for 6:30.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Yeah.
I've been trying it to get up.
I think the key to that verse is like the early factor doesn't hurt me as much as like what she's doing that early.
Oh, making breakfast for her family. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know who I'm not making breakfast for? Ethan. You know, he goes to work with some donuts that he gets from a gas station every day. Sorry, babe. Maybe Bronwyn will teach me something. Okay, so basically this woman is not lazy and she's getting stuff done.
Yeah, she has a plan for her day. She's getting stuff done.
That's right.
She works with her hands
to
provide for her family.
The cool thing is that she immediately wakes up and serves someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not herself.
Yeah. That's what I would want to do.
She probably is eating breakfast too.
Probably.
But
she's pouring herself a cup of coffee first.
She wakes up with the responsibility.
That's right.
She knows.
Yeah.
Yes.
I have a responsibility to my home, my household.
And you guys, we already talked about this in the pre-cap, but that is why the legend is with us today, Bronwyn. When we started talking about this whole series, I said to Leanne, we had put down some names and I was like, we had to take some out. She was like, for what? And I was like, for Bronwyn. Because you embody, you fully embody.
I know this is the time where we need a video.
This whole concept of a Proverbs 31 woman. When I started thinking about it, I'm like, literally there's nothing that Bronwyn does not do. I'm like, we're gardening, we're making things. One day I needed a duvet cover and I was like blowing up her phone about all of the things. And she was like, Sierra, just get these things and I could sew it for you. And I was like, what? I'm like, you can sew? And she literally sent me back. I was just looking at this in our text messages. You sent me back a GIF and it was like, this is just like really useful.
It's my favorite. And I was just like the man with the whatnot on his head. This is just really useful.
It was, and I was like, this is who she is. So there is no better person I could think to talk about Proverbs 31 with us.
It's true.
And answer these questions than Bronwyn Weidman.
And she's blushing.
A gift.
Yeah. You're a gift. And we're so excited to be inspired by you.
So many Seriously. Women just speaking into all of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm so grateful for. Yeah,
me too. I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful because now that our friends who maybe aren't in this community or find themselves in a community that they're trying to build, they're going to be able to glean from your wisdom too. Like we have like a rich, rich, rich thing going on here. So hopefully we can share that.
Yeah. Thank you, Lord.
So we have some questions that we want to dive into and we are really, we're really excited to hear from you and we'll just take them. We'll alternate asking and hopefully it'll strike up some good convo.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to take the first one?
For sure. So what inspiration have you gotten from the Proverbs 31 woman and how you've made your home?
It's a good question. I actually was laughing when I listened to the first podcast of you guys were talking about. There was just a big sigh.
Yes.
When you think about the Proverbs 31 woman. And I felt that too. I laughed because I sighed too.
Yeah.
But I got married. Michael and I knew each other in high school and I got married. I was 18 when he proposed to me.
Wow.
That's insane.
And I was with I lived with my parents because I was 18.
Yeah.
And we got married and then I moved.
Or like 19?
19.
From your parents' home to now his home.
Yeah. To now our home.
Or yeah.
Yeah. Well, and
Did he live by himself?
He had lived in a dorm room with somebody else, you know? And that is its own thing.
Totally.
But it was our home. And my mom did such an incredible job at keeping our home and making it beautiful, mm-hmm. and putting so much into it, and invited us along. But there's nothing like just doing it yourself.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. Just when you're set with a task and it's up to you, mm-hmm. whether or not it succeeds or it fails.
Yeah.
There's nothing like it. So we got married, and there was a lot that had gone on in our hearts with the Lord, but this one thing of, okay, I'm in charge of this now, this thing, and we're now starting to include people in it, mm-hmm. and what do I want it to look like? And yeah. So I was laughing because I totally felt that way about the Proverbs 31 woman growing up. My mom had gotten me this devotion. I remember the cover. It was like pink and had flowers all over. Yeah. I was like, the Proverbs 31 woman.
Yes.
And reading it, I just laughed. Like, no one's like this. Mm-hmm. There's no one like this. This feels so unattainable.
Yeah.
It feels, right?
Yeah.
Totally.
It feels unattainable, or at least when I was reading it. But there was such a refuge in asking God, I don't know how to do this. Mm-hmm. When I got married and I had my own home, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah,
I know what people have done before me, but this isn't even the same space.
Right,
and I'm a different person. And this person in front of me, who I'm married to, our life is going to be different.
Yeah.
Than even what I knew before. So I just remember crying out to God and saying, God, I need like real wisdom. Mm-hmm. And I knew there was one book of the Bible that spoke about wisdom. And I was like, okay, I got to go to Proverbs. And then I remembered this wonderful little devotional my mom.
that you scoffed at so many years before.
I did. Oh, Lord, forgive me. But I scoffed at, and I remembered, oh, wait, there's an ideal woman. And I think from what I remember of this devotional, that she keeps a home, mm-hmm. yeah. and she's a good wife. And so maybe I'll just go and look at that and ask the Lord to speak to me through it. So he did.
Yeah.
And he showed me like, this is not something that's silly, mm-hmm. or something that you couldn't even achieve. You just ask the Lord to meet you, and thank the Lord he did. He really did. And I started to ask more, okay, how should I do this in my home? How should I organize my cupboards? How should I, you know, all those little things. And you just include the Lord in all of those, those asks. Okay, what should I do?
Yeah.
And you read the Proverbs 31 woman, mm-hmm. and she looks over everything. Mm-hmm. There's, it feels like nothing's untouched.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
So
that's incredible. And just really simple, smart wisdom. And so it's, I love what you said. You just include the Lord in all of those decisions. I've heard that in a sermon before where Eli was like, you just ask the Lord.
Yes.
You just ask the Lord.
And that's the specific one. He's like, what shirt should I wear today? And yes. I remember thinking, that's so silly.
Yeah.
But it's wise.
I know. I have done that a couple of times, and it's really checked my motivation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where it's like, because I think specifically for clothing for women can be quite powerful. And so it's like, I remember being like, okay, should I wear this today?
Yeah.
Is there like anything in my heart about, and I'm like, okay, yep, totally. I would wear that so that somebody would say, hey, that looks great. And so then I'm like, okay, that's not what I want to go for today. It's not about me. I'm going to put on something that doesn't feel so like attention drawing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Basically anything you wear because you're so cute.
You're so sweet. I love you.
So cute. One of my favorite verses, the verse 18, it says that she perceives her merchandise as profitable.
And
her lamp never goes out.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, this is so fun to me. When you're first married, you don't really have, you're like, okay, we got our love.
Yeah, and that's it.
And even still, I mean, are there seasons where you maybe got two-year-olds and you're like, we got
our love.
And we got our love.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
But I always think it's so cool that she sees the things that she can put her hands to. Yeah. And then she's like, making something valuable,
yeah,
and sees, oh wait, okay, this is valuable.
Totally.
Yeah.
I can sell it. And it says her lamp never goes out. Okay, this is so cool. One of my favorite things is that she's creative, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and she's resourceful.
Yeah.
And she's full of ingenuity.
Yeah.
And don't you feel like you need those things?
Oh, yes.
To run a home.
1,000%.
Like, how would you get, you know, just problem solving.
Totally.
And overcoming in all the little areas.
Yeah.
That's like.
Like homemaking is like one big puzzle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how do we make it all work together? Like,
literally.
Cohesively, mm-hmm. and with like a piece and like without as much chaos as we can.
All the creativity and ingenuity.
Yeah.
Man, this is why you're here.
Thanks, Bronwyn. That's really good. That's really good. Do you feel like you've like, do you have any specific examples that you could share with us where you've like seen something and you're like, okay, I'm going to make this happen with this. Like,
yeah,
the Lord has given you like, you feel like maybe a really outstanding idea and you're like, oh yeah, I'm running with this.
100%.
Yeah?
Yes.
Will you share one with us?
Totally. Yeah. So even this week, okay, my dining table, we have people in our home all the time,
yeah.
which is the purpose of our home.
Yes.
And we were having this class and someone...
If you can hear my dog, guest. I'm so sorry.
Graham.
He's very just thirsty.
She's like, you're just so everything about you. I'm like, I just want to soak it in and I can just hear it. And I'm like, for the love. Okay, take it away.
Well, so somebody sat on the table and broke the table.
Oh no.
Which is hilarious.
Yep.
You know.
Oh yeah, you've got lots of people in.
Yeah.
And things are going to happen.
Things. There's so many of those mm-hmm. moments.
Oh, for sure. I
said that and I know you have one thing on you. But.
Like, that's not my table. That's the Lord's table.
That's the Lord's.
Well, so, and then our wonderful friend, so I was like, I don't know what to do. And our wonderful friend came over. He like kind of patched it together for us, which it's been a year now. So,
wow.
It worked. The patch was great.
Strong patch.
Yeah. Strong patch. And, but my daughter, was leaning on the table it was about a month ago now, but my daughter was leaning on the table on the weak spot. Uh-oh. And my little son was underneath.
Oh, gosh.
And I just saw this moment ER visit.
Yes.
Like flash before my eyes and it cracked even more and broke even more.
Oh, no.
And I thought to myself, okay, we need a new table.
Yeah, this is dangerous now.
This is now dangerous. Yes. Not what I want, but we've got to get a new table.
Yeah.
So for the past month, I've been going to thrift stores or looking online on Facebook Marketplace for...
Yeah, because like $3,000 is not what we want to drop on a table.
No. Totally. And they come as sets.
No.
And they come as sets, and I don't really need chairs at this moment. And so I'm thinking, okay, maybe I can get a table that I like, and if it's not the color, I'll sand it and mm-hmm. whatever. Yeah. I'll make it something. Mm-hmm. But I can't find anything that's any... like. Within any reasonable price for something that is secondhand.
Yes.
Totally.
Somebody was asking $700 for a tiny little table. For a tiny little table, secondhand.
College Station is different.
It was
different.
Funny.
Marketplace is different.
Different. They're like, it's missing a leg, but you could probably glue it back on. $700.
I'm so glad you noticed this too.
It's why
I
widen my search to Houston and Austin most of the time. I'm like,
you're like, I'll drive a little realistic. Bit.
I will drive for it.
Yeah.
And... anyways, all that to say is I got to the end of it. I couldn't find anything that I liked. And anything that was less than what I'd be willing to pay for a used table. So I just decided that I'm going to build my own table. And
of course you did.
Yeah.
Of course you did.
Here's my thing. This is the best. She perceives her merchandise as valuable.
That's right, she does.
She says, you know, the things that I have learned to do, it's valuable.
You queen.
And then I thought to myself, if I could build tables for myself, maybe I could build some tables for someone else that's fed up with the Facebook Marketplace situation.
That's right.
How fun would that
tables
be?
I need a coffee table.
Table. There you go. Coffee.
Coffee table. Patrice told me I need one.
I built our coffee table and it's lasted and a half years.
That's so amazing.
I mean, it's not what I now, 6 years later, I would make something different.
Totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yes.
But it's not broken.
Okay.
So
I would like a picture of this coffee table.
It's not broken.
Listen, when Ethan and I got married and we moved here, I really wanted a coffee table. And so we made this list. We had like, we called it like a project list, and it was like one, we'd take off one thing until we got through the list. We'd just mark one off. And so I was like, I'm going to build a coffee table. This is what I'm going to do. But the one I wanted, because I was very in my farmhouse rustic chic look, I wanted one that was like those wooden crates.
Oh yeah.
You know what I mean? And you like, anyway, and you put four of them together and it has like a hole in the middle, and you like, anyway, I did the whole thing. I sanded it, I stained it. I put it together. Anyway, it lost it. It was so strong, but then I quickly tired of like
that look.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was like four sharp corners, and Nora was like toddling around. Oh, yeah. So I just sold it on the Facebook Marketplace.
For more than I paid for it.
Like,
I'm in college station now, baby.
$800.
She perceived her merchandise.
I take back every ugly thing I said about that marketplace. These people are perceiving what they have.
That's
value.
Right.
That's
so
awesome.
Funny.
Yeah. So I think it just, when you come upon a problem in your home, that it takes a quick question. It's like, can I solve this myself?
Yeah.
And most often, if you just are brave and you just go for it and watch a couple YouTube videos.
That's right.
For sure.
You could probably do it.
For sure.
What I mean?
That's
I fixed toilets before. There's all kinds of stuff.
Of course.
You can learn a lot.
I just had a
doing.
Very similar conversation with my son, Maddox. So he's like really all about, he's like asking all about the cars and the trucks because he's going to get his driver's permit soon. And so he's like,
oh my goodness.
I know. So he's like thinking, he's like, okay, but when you do this, how do you have to do this? And I'm like, yeah. And I had a light come on my car. He was like, he's driving down the driveway. He's like, what does that mean? I'm like, oh, it's just telling me to get the oil change. And he was like, oil change? What does that mean? And I was like, well, I'm like explaining it the best I can.
Yeah,
I'm like, well,
your engine
needs oil to like make everything runs really smooth, and it kind of evaporates and it gets dirty, so you have to change it. And he was like, oh, is that hard? I'm like, I don't think so. Like, they just like unscrew a little cap, they drain it out, and they fill it up with new oil. He goes, oh, okay. Are you gonna get that done soon? I'm like, yeah, but it's like $160, and so I gotta wait until daddy gets paid. And he was like, 100? And you just told me they just drained it and fill it up. I was like, you're so right.
You're right.
Like,
I did just say that.
He goes, could I do it? I'm like, you know what, baby? I think we just found you elective
maybe.
For high school. We're going to start looking at some mechanics classes.
That's
and you're
so
going to start
smart.
Changing the oil.
Okay. It's not just unscrewing it and letting it drain. My dad's a mechanic. And so growing up before.
Sorry, Bonnie. Don't tell him I said that.
No. It's just because it was so important to him that women knew about their cars and like the way things, he would make me do all of these things for myself. So I had to learn how to change my oil, how to learn how to change
my
tires, how to like.
Him for telling you that.
Oh my gosh. It was like, my dad was so hardcore about these things. And I really appreciate it because when things would happen in my car.
You could just fix it.
With my dad's help.
Or diagnose it at least.
Yes, I could figure it out. And I'm like, oh, you need this. You need coolant. You know, like I wasn't the girl that was like, I need blinker fluid.
Yeah.
I knew that was fake. Okay, my dad was not letting me be dumb. And it was just like, anyway, so that I thought, how hard can an oil change be? How hard?
Don't talk me out of this, okay?
It's tricky, okay? It's not impossible. My dad did it. Obviously, we did it at home. So it's like, it is possible. You just have to know a little bit. You need some tools. You need tools. You need pans. You need buckets to travel that close. You can't just keep it on your land. You have to dispose of it the right way.
So
it's a whole thing.
Yeah, I told Maddox, I'm like, we're going to look up some YouTube videos.
That's right.
We're going to watch it happen. We're going to get a list of materials that we need. And I am 1,000% behind you in learning how to change the oil on your daddy's truck. Okay. I'm like, you can practice on that one.
Oh, yeah. And you're like, as you buy all these things, you're like, $145. That's why they charge $160.
Yeah.
It's pretty hilarious.
So we'll see.
Anytime something happens
to
my car now.
He's going to get so good at it.
I know.
And then he's going to start doing it for
hopefully,
other people.
Yeah. It'll be his thing.
It's his thing. Yeah.
Mechanics, is so smart to teach people. My dad would say, very good job, Leanne.
Thanks.
He feels very passionately that people know about cars.
That's awesome.
Yeah, now I just call him when I need things. I'm just, Daddy.
For sure.
What's wrong with my car? He's like, you know what's wrong with your car. I'm like, you're right.
And he's like, bring it to me anyways.
That's right. He's a good daddy. He's always like, just bring it to me.
Oh,
like, thanks.
Sweet.
Okay, Bronwyn. What would you say are some practical ways we can make our homes represent a sanctuary in the sense that it is somewhere we find peace, rest, and reprieve?
Yes. Everybody loves a good practical.
Yeah.
Right?
Loves a good practical.
This is great. I always find that practical things start with identifying.
Yes.
where, okay, say that you go into your medicine cabinet.
Yeah.
And it is exploding.
Yeah.
Mine was exploding the other day. So, but just some questions. Or like your living room. You go into your living space. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's just not, it's not what you want.
Yeah. Yeah. It is not what I want.
Or you walk in and you, you just, there's a feeling that you're mm-hmm. lacking, that yep, you're yep, hoping yep. for, and it's not, you're lacking. But I always start with asking some questions, like what does a space serve as mm-hmm. right now? What mm-hmm. is it serving as? What do I want the space to serve as? Mm-hmm. What are my mm-hmm. hopes? So like for my living room, okay, what do I want people to be doing here? There's a lot of life that happens in living areas, that's right? Whether it's your family or people coming over. And what does a space currently make me feel? Mm-hmm. Mm. This one's funny to me. I'm not all about things should make you always feel good. But when you are creating a space artistically and you're using a lot of creativity, there is yeah. a sense that you're, that even things like colors and styles and lighting yeah. changes mm-hmm. the way you feel in a room.
Yes.
Whether it's you feel safe or you feel excited or you feel kind of a little bit more calm. And then what do I want this space to feel like? So what does it feel like yeah. now? What do I want this space to feel like? And then under all those questions, you start to say, okay, these are the things that the Lord's placed in our family. We love having people over.
Yes.
And we want people to feel a part of our family when they come in the door. We want to be hospitable. Mm-hmm. We want everyone to feel important when they come into our home. We want them to know that the Lord rests here yeah. with us. So all those things that you have in your heart that, and convictions from the Lord. And so after asking and identifying all those things that you, then you can start, I feel like then you practically can start to dream.
Right.
About, right? Like yeah. after knowing all those things, then you could practically start to dream about, okay, how do I achieve all the things that I know I want, mm-hmm. all the things I would like to accomplish, whether it's a space that like living, I feel like living rooms are a big deal.
They're huge.
Right?
Right.
Like that's where everything happens in yeah. the living room.
Yeah.
What happens everything. In your living room, Lee?
Oh gosh. Yeah, literally everything. That's like, well, here's the deal. Unfortunately, I don't know how this happens in every house that I've been in, but if people are actually always drawn to the kitchen. I don't know yeah. if it's because I'm preparing food when they get there, but the kitchen actually becomes like the hovering space.
That's awesome.
And then eventually like people will move to the living room, but right now ours is very separated.
That's so true.
And so it's like everybody just like,
I wonder why that is.
I don't know.
I'm like, now I'm thinking about all my times in your house. I'm like, I'm usually in your old house. I was like sitting at your bar.
Yes.
And then now I just sit in your kitchen.
I know.
Which is really funny.
And that's where we do homeschool. We do homeschool in our
so
kitchen.
Maybe in the identifying, you say, okay, I know now that actually my living room isn't the place where people come.
Yeah, yeah.
My kitchen is.
My kitchen is. I know. How can I help this happen? Yeah. For us, it was like making sure that we had enough seating in our kitchen.
Yeah, see? That's so practical.
And then getting stuff off of our counters.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, if people are going to be in here, we can't have like the toaster oven, the microwave, the, yeah. you know, Instant Pot. Yeah. So now we have like a makeshift butler's pantry. It's a mud room, but I put a shelf in there and put all of our things in there.
Nice.
Yeah.
Resourceful. There you go.
That's right.
Well, yeah. So at least for me, when I start to dream and I dream about spaces in my home and real, when I want to transform something mm-hmm. or I mean, I'm speaking about the home right now.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I want people to have a deep revelation of God and in my home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then everything filters
through
right?
that.
Everything filters through that. So if I say to myself, okay, I want a deep revelation of God mm-hmm. in my bedroom. I want a deep revelation of what he's like. It trickles mm-hmm. all of that, all the things that you, all the ornate things that you decorate with or the art that you pick for the yeah, walls yeah. or it, I'm the colors that I use, the light, the even the arranging of the furniture, all that real practical, like, I want it to be because I want it to be in that space because the thing I hope people come away with is the deep revelation of God.
Yeah.
I like think about our dinner table. I think it's in the beginning of character sketches. Do you guys, have you ever looked at character sketches? Mm-mm. Okay. It's really awesome. But at the very beginning, I think it's at the beginning, he says that the dinner table is so sacred and it's the place where kids learn the most about the Lord.
Hmm.
Isn't that sweet?
Mm-hmm.
It's like all the conversations and even the way you interact with each other,
yeah.
like father to child,
yeah.
is the place where... So there's so much power in a space that you spend time yeah. in, right?
Yeah.
So thinking through, what do I want this to feel like? Mm-hmm. What do I want it to be like? Mm-hmm. What's the hope that I have? I think when we ask ourselves those questions and we're really honest, especially about what it's serving right now,
yeah,
then things can, when we're honest yeah. with the Lord, things can start to shift.
Totally.
I know for like my kitchen. So I'm thinking about this kitchen table right now.
Yeah. yeah.
And I'm dreaming up, what do I want it to be like? Mm-hmm. Well, I know that I really want it somebody to be able to sit on it and not break.
First, sturdy.
Sturdy. But I'm thinking like, as I'm sketching up the way that I want it to look, I'm thinking of all the wonderful things that are going to happen at the table.
Yeah.
Like all the conversations that I want people to have with us.
Mm-hmm.
All the times at the table that my kids are going to learn about the father heart of God,
mm-hmm.
and all the laughs and crafts yeah. and baking Wipeable. Cookies for the neighbor. Yeah. You're like, okay, well I need a polyurethane coat, you know,
because yeah.
we're going to be doing all this stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So you filter through all of those
yeah.
things. What's my dream for this space? And then the practical thing of, okay,
totally.
It needs to be this way.
Yeah.
It needs to be that way. I always feel like it always follows. What do you think, Sierra?
I think that is really good. And I think you're right. I think, yeah, from the practicality of like inviting the Lord, dreaming about like, what do I want this space to be? Then it'll all flow out of that thing. Like what the purpose that you want it to serve, then like all the steps will flow out of that.
Yeah. I feel like we've been given a lot of like false, I don't know what it's called, like false inspiration, like go on Pinterest and find like the perfect little like setup that like speaks to you. It's like, but you're like, no, yeah. it's actually deeper than that. You
yeah.
know, like you can have a style, you can have a sense of like what mm-hmm. looks pleasing to your eye, but like, what is that deep desire in your heart
yes.
for your space?
How many times have you gone on Pinterest and recreated the thing?
Yeah.
But and then and like then a few weeks. Still. Yeah. Or a few weeks later, you realize this is so not practical.
Yeah. Yes.
It's just totally. Not, my kids are never going to leave this like beautiful totally. Arrangement on the coffee yes, table literally. Alone, you know, or, oh, that broke. Yeah. And now I've got to go get a new one.
That's right. Every time.
That's so right. Sometimes that's not always the...
It's not the place to go.
Sometimes it's not always the thing. You know, there's this book. It's called Spiritual Vocations. It's Winky Pratney.
Oh, yeah.
Compiled. Have you heard this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think I have it.
And it's so fun to look through.
Mm-hmm.
So I just looked through it to see what the Bible says about God as homemaker. But and it's not, it doesn't specifically say homemaker, but
right.
it talks about God as the first of everything.
Yeah,
God is
yeah.
the first maker. And I was reminded of the tabernacle
mm-hmm.
and how this wonderful, so the tabernacle just means is dwelling.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's like the Lord's dwelling place, right? And I was reminded of how ornate.
Yeah, how intricate.
Yes,
the details.
Yeah. It's so detailed. I think it spans over. I mean, the instructions for building the tabernacle span over multiple chapters
yes.
in the Bible, mm-hmm. in Exodus. Mm-hmm. I think it's like 25 through 30, yeah. 31 or something
yes.
like
if
that.
If you've ever had a thought that the Lord doesn't really care about your dwelling space, maybe he does.
He does.
Yes,
you're right.
Worth.
Yeah. And it's so ornate. There's smells.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's food.
incredible to think about.
There's beautiful fixtures and furniture. Uh-huh. There's lighting. Uh-huh. There's specific lighting.
That's so true. It's all for a purpose.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah. I've actually never thought about it like
I've
that.
I've never thought about it. I'm like, those are the chapters in Exodus where I'm reading through the Bible in like 100 days or whatever. I'm like, oh, man. You know what I mean? Like 25 by 27 yeah. cubits. And I'm like, yeah. who cares?
There's now all this ornate things. Like they're instructed to put like pomegranates.
Yes.
Like cast pomegranates.
Yeah.
Weave these beautiful linens uh-huh. and beautiful tapestries.
Yes.
And it's ornate and wonderful. And when you go inside, it's like yeah. heaven. Yeah. It's a shadow of heavenly things,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
It's the dwelling place of God.
Yeah.
And so when I think about my home, mm-hmm. that's what I think. Okay, this is the like I want the Lord to dwell with us here.
Yeah.
And I want people to know this is where the Lord dwells.
Mm-hmm.
And so in every little detail, just as he's so detailed in Exodus, he's yes. so detailed about it, but just in every detail, how do I want somebody to look and say, and wonder, what does this mean?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
whether it's a piece of art on my wall or
yeah.
All of my furniture in my living room faces each other.
Yeah, like it's very intentional.
It's on a purpose. That's yeah. right. And somebody asked us about that. They said, you don't have a TV. In this room, and we chose early on that we wanted to on purpose
yeah.
mm-hmm.
Put all of our furniture towards each other so yeah. that people felt like we were always looking at them and we were always talking and we were always interested in them
yeah
and so it's all those little things
uh-huh.
you know
uh-huh. I love it.
It's so true.
We did that for a while, and then the TV ended up in our bedroom, and I was like, oh, I don't love this either. So that's the current battle.
It's hilarious yeah. is that I love that it ended up in my bedroom. I'm like, we brought
all
this
those movie kettles.
Literally, we're a big TV watcher, like at night. Like we're like an episode or two. Yeah. It's like how we spend time together. And so I'm like, I love it. It's not we don't turn it on until night. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's like so funny, but now it ended up back in my we have two. So one's in my living room now, but when we first did that, I was like, I like this in my bedroom. This is nice.
I remember the first time that I think Mandy was like challenging us on staff to like think of our spaces to be, I don't think she used the term like shadows of heaven, but like a glimpse of Eden.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
Here, like how can we recreate like that type of like mm-hmm. atmosphere in our homes? And I was like, wow, I actually never really even thought about that. But that is like articulating what I want. And so right. how to be thoughtful about all those little pieces
yeah.
and does the Lord actually care, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I think we can quickly talk ourselves like, well, that's just like materialistic, you know, but in actuality right. it's like, hey, actually there's the motivation behind this is not to have all of the things.
Right.
The motivation is to have the right things that
right.
point people
that's,
to Jesus
that's
or
right.
like to point, you know, to have their thoughts anchored on yeah. something bigger.
Yeah.
This chair is the worst.
I can hear that. Okay, can I ask you the next question?
Yeah.
All right. Yes. Do you think all women are called to be homemakers? And how do you think this could correlate to those who work outside the home with either like full-time or part-time jobs?
This is a good question. This is a really good question.
I can just hear people being like, well, yeah, I would do that if.
If.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, know. Does everybody live somewhere?
Yes.
Whether it's a shack, that's why yeah. I love this book.
What is that book?
This is a treasure. It's The Hidden Art of Homemaking by Edith Schaefer.
It's a good one.
It's so wonderful. And she in the interior design chapter, she goes through everyone lives somewhere.
That's
whether
right.
it's a under a bridge or she goes through it, you know, whether it's a chateau in the French countryside or whether it's
yeah.
a cottage or an apartment in New York City that's this big yeah. tiny yeah. you know she says everybody dwells somewhere
mm-hmm.
and so yes, every woman is a homemaker. You make a home.
Yeah,
everyone is a homemaker. You have a place and the time spent making a home, setting up, I mean, I live in a duplex right
yeah.
now
yeah.
and I love my duplex. I think I wish I could stay there for forever.
Yeah.
yeah. I love the duplex. I actually love living next to someone.
Yes.
I love it. I actually even loved living in an apartment. Mm-hmm. We had someone over us. That was a little much, mostly because I felt like my child was waking them up. You know, I felt a little like, oh, I'm so sorry. You know,
you're hearing everything.
But I actually loved living right next to people. Anyway, so I live in a duplex and this is year 4, mm-hmm. I think. And I still am changing things. Mm-hmm. You know, it's ever evolving with our family's needs. And so it's never, even as you set up a home, everyone dwells somewhere. Mm-hmm. And as you set up a home, it's always changing, ever evolving, always changing with your needs and your life, mm-hmm. whether you're working full time or part time, or you're at your dwelling place all the time. That is an important place. I want my home to be a sermon, you know, the sermon that I might not ever preach from a pulpit.
Right.
And, or a worship song to an almighty God that I might never sing to a whole crowd.
Yeah.
But whether I'm out of the home often or I'm in the home all the time, mm-hmm. I can still make that place, that thing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yes, I do think that all women are homemakers because we all have a dwelling place. We all
have a home.
You have a home.
I love it. That's a really wonderful answer.
That's so good. Okay. I'm processing as you're talking because I'm like, you know whose house isn't homemade? Mine. Okay. How can we establish joy and a sense of fulfillment in homemaking? Oh, this is my question. How can we establish joy and a sense of fulfillment in homemaking if it's not naturally something we love? We're not creative. Yeah. We just don't enjoy it.
I think you are creative, Sierra.
In a lot of ways, not in this.
I think, yes. Okay, so the creativity always comes from something you're good, like you thrive in. Mm-hmm. I think it's awesome that you are so mechanically inclined. Not at all. That's so awesome. But there is like this wonderful thing in all of us. I really believe this. There's a wonderful, and whether we're like, we've practiced articulating, mm-hmm. whether painting, singing, you know, all these expressions of art, whether we've practiced it or not, is a different story. But I do know that there is something wonderful in each of us, like mm-hmm. that is creative, right? So when God made man and he made a garden, and then he put man in the garden, mm-hmm. and he gave dominion to the man. He said, you have dominion over this. So I think that there is something in all of us that it's placed. I can care for and take care of, and artistically, it doesn't have to be like painting. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not.
It might not be. It might be. You might try your hand at it. Mm-hmm. It might be. But it might not.
Something.
But there is something that you inside of you that can express a revelation of God.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It does. I'm thinking about it.
Can I speak to this a little bit for you personally?
Oh, please.
Okay. You have such a deep desire for your children's lives to be rich and for your children to like be children and to have like a freedom of like exploration and adventure.
Yes.
And I think your house very much allows for that during this season. So it's like, it makes sense to me why you don't have a very large coffee table, you know, in the middle of your living room right now. You've got children who are playing in here and exploring in here and figuring out life in here.
They sure are.
You know? And so that I'm like, for the season that you're in,
yes,
it feels like you're allowing what needs to happen in your home to happen in your home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yes. So it may not have all of the touches that you want it to have.
No, it doesn't.
But if it did have those touches, like, would it take away from the experience that you're giving them right now?
I see what you're saying.
Yes.
I just don't want you to be discouraged in what is happening in your home. Your
so home sweet.
Serves like such a wonderful purpose.
So my mom called me. I was talking to her yesterday. She said, just like, Sierra, I think you're just too hard on yourself. And I was like, totally, for sure. But
yes. You might not enjoy not like being, oh, what if this wall was this color? Or what if that might not
mm-hmm. yes.
be something you enjoy?
No, it's not.
But the real, just the concept of, okay, what do I want people that I want people to have a revelation of God in this home?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm ministered to watching your kids play even together. There's like something so special that they have.
Yeah.
But it's from you. It's from your heart, and it's from, right? Like it's
what you've
it is from them. What you have nurtured in them. Mm. And that is beautiful.
It is.
It's an expression, right? Yeah. That's what it's like, artistic, but that's an expression, right, of the heart of God. Yeah. Now the question of how do you find fulfillment and joy in homemaking if it's not naturally? I think that our idea of homemaking is we have a picture of a perfectly Pinterested home, right? Like something so perfect and curated.
We've been sold a
but has, that it's something. This kind of lifeless, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
If I have a perfectly curated home, I love when things are like set and
totally.
You know what
There's
I mean?
There's a time and place for
There's a time and place for everything, you know? And my bedroom is usually that time and place. You know what I mean? It's like the kids stay out. This is like set. My bed's made, you know, all this. My shelves are like really. But everything outside of that, forget it, you know?
It's like so fun.
Yeah, your husband's really wonderful and like loves to serve but doesn't know where any of the dishes go somehow, you know?
Yeah.
It's like you just get it, you're like, okay, well, the dishes are done.
That's right.
God, I'm so excited. I don't have to do them.
That's right.
So like the perfectly curated shelves or perfectly curated coffee table, all of that, like,
yeah,
it's just not practical. It's not gonna stay that way.
It's
not gonna stay that way unless you don't have a life in your home.
Yes.
And no one wants that.
Yeah.
Totally right?
Not. Nobody wants a lifeless home.
Nobody wants a lifeless home.
Yeah. It's called a living room for a reason.
It's that's right.
Yeah.
I'm like always going for the lived-in look.
You right. go right. for the lived-in look. Yeah. But yeah, it's so the finding joy, the finding joy in a sense of fulfillment in homemaking, the best thing that, even I think Edith Schaefer says is that it should be a reflection of you.
Mm-hmm.
So all the things that you are, it should reflect in your home.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And, it should be your personality and the things that like really matter to you,
mm-hmm.
that you really care about and value are. And so like Sierra said, or Lee, you said to Sierra, something you value is letting your children have a space to be themselves, to explore, to adventure.
Yeah.
Right. And that's the thing you're nurturing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is valuable. And you and your home is full of joy because of it.
That's right.
It's full for sure.
So, and the cool thing, she also says this in the book. I think this is so funny. She pulls up the fact that women are kind of, well, she doesn't tiptoe around it, but basically she says, like, pretty dramatic sometimes.
And oh, yeah.
No.
Women.
No dramatic woman.
Women.
I couldn't pick
Never
one
met
out.
One.
I know there's somebody right now listening thinking, I'm not dramatic.
Oh, if that's you, you are.
But then there are some people that really love drama, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You loved theater.
Yeah, and I do love a good bit of drama.
And you love a good bit of drama. And, okay.
Going back to when Sierra's texting me in my yard, and I'm talking with my hands, like, very big, and she's like, I cannot wait to hear what this conversation's about.
Literally, but I just need to paint that a better picture. She's, like, on the phone, head down, pacing her yard, and her hands are just going, going, going. And I'm watching from the window, and I was like, everything about me wants to know.
I can.
I love a good bit of drama. I don't want
to ask about it.
I don't want to be in the drama.
Right,
I want
to
hear about it.
Yeah, yeah. But you want to be in the know about it, right?
Yes.
Okay. So we know that the Bible says a lot about gossip and slander.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes,
it is
not,
bad.
Yeah, we do not promote
right?
that.
We do not promote that.
Mm-mm.
But Edith makes the point that it's not bad to enjoy the theatric, the drama of something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she says it's wrong to go outside to slander, to hurt someone, to even seek after knowing something that would maybe even compromise someone.
Totally.
But she says this desire we have is not, when it is misplaced, is incorrect. Mm-hmm. But she says, I encourage theatrics in the home. If you're a woman that is always she says something like stick in your nose and where it shouldn't, basically, to find out drama. Perhaps you should just start to put on plays in your house. Write scripts.
Create your own drama.
Yeah, she encourages it. She's like, set up your living room. And isn't that funny?
Yeah. Yes.
Set up your living room and get the kids involved and write parts for everyone. And
so fun.
How fun, you know? Yeah. And we so did that. The great. Joy and fulfillment in homemaking is a place to be you, right?
Yeah.
It's a place to do the things you enjoy.
So you really need to know about yourself. That's what you're saying. That's what I'm hearing. You got to really know things about yourself.
Yeah. I think that's why you have to identify, like, what do I want from this? Mm-hmm. What do I want from this space? What do I want from this?
Interesting.
What do I want to feel like here? What do I... You know, all those identifying.
I think for me personally, I'm just like processing with you. I'm like, why have I not done some things in my house that like would spark a little like dramatic flair? That, you know, like what in my home that, where can I work on this? And I think my problem is because I don't work for a significant amount of money outside of the home.
Yeah.
I feel like, ooh, I can't spend this money, you know, we could put this towards like braces and sports and like other things. And so I'm like, okay, a really practical step for me would be like, I need to pull out $25 here and there when I can, or maybe 50, or, you know, ask Ryan, like, what would you be okay with me like pulling aside?
Give her the hundy, Ryan.
Yeah. Like just stashing for a little while until I can if I do want, like, I'm like picturing one part of my house. I'm like, I need something there, but I'm definitely not going to go spend a big chunk of change on it at once. But I'm like, okay, maybe I need to really focus and ask the Lord, like, okay, what can we afford to like put away?
Yeah.
And then maybe I would feel a little more free.
Yes.
To put something in that space when I know that I'm not taking away from the grocery bill.
Yes.
No, I feel that deeply.
That's true. Yes. Allotting specific amounts of whether it's money or even time.
Or energy. Yeah.
Energy, brain thought, power to making a place. Yeah.
For a specific project.
That's good.
Because that would create some joy in me.
Yeah. I always feel like I'm in the same. There always seems to be a better way to spend that money.
Always. Always. Totally.
And
I can hear my husband telling me that now. He's like, are you sure we need a painting when we could, you know, use a new set of tires?
The coolest thing about the Proverbs 31 woman is there's so many things that she does, right? She like goes and buys she perceives a field and then buys it.
Yeah.
You're like, how did she just buy a field?
Yeah, that's
just
did that.
She didn't even say that she talked to her husband. Okay. She'd be running that family finance.
And she just did it. And then it says that she weaves wool and flax, right? She sells linen at the merchants.
Yes.
Like she, so the cool, I'm always so encouraged that if I want to create or do, I'll make it happen.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's so true.
And I've come up like, man, I never thought that I would be humming bridesmaid dresses, but I do all the time.
Yes.
I hem bridesmaid dresses. That you know what
awesome.
I mean?
Yeah.
But it's like those little things that you just say like, okay, I know that if I can work really hard and I do this thing, then this will reward me some freedom in this area.
That's right.
I feel like when we read the Proverbs 31,
she's doing.
Like,
she's working hard to allot freedom somewhere else.
She just makes it happen.
She's not relying on the marketplace to go buy things.
Yeah.
But she's like relying on the field that she bought to produce things that maybe she goes sells.
Yep.
It's like she's like working the system.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. She's just
a little bit of time.
It's like she's wise.
Yeah.
It's like she's Lady Wisdom or something.
She's got wisdom.
Bible project.
That's awesome. But that's the coolest thing to me about Proverbs 31 woman. She just does.
Yeah.
She sees and she says, I'll overcome.
Yeah.
That's right.
And she makes it happen.
She takes the risk.
Which we all want to be like that.
Totally.
Right?
Totally.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever met somebody that says, I don't want to overcome.
I do not want to be an overcomer.
I'm happy with how it's going.
Right?
If it's going poorly.
It's my favorite place to be poor.
So if a friend came to you with very little inspiration or vision for her home, what are like three steps that you could give her to help her out here? Like first, I think you've already named the first one, identify.
Yeah that's my very first one. Yeah.
Identify.
First step, identify. And then second step, I would just pray.
good
that
one.
That's a good one. That sounds kind of silly.
We don't want it. No, we know.
But the real prayer is like, what do I do with what I have?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then divine inspiration comes.
Yeah.
Whenever I take something and I say, God, could you help me speak into it? You're so creative, obviously.
Yeah.
You made everything.
Yeah.
So could you help me reorient the prayer is, I mean, it's, I'm not travailing in prayer over something. Right, it's just like a invitation. God, please give me divine inspiration. Yeah. Give me some creative thing. I want to accomplish this.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of the verse that says, Colossians 3, everyone knows this verse. Colossians 3, 23 through 24 says, work heartily. Whatever you do, work heartily for the Lord and not for men. Mm-hmm. Knowing that from the Lord, you will receive an inheritance as your reward. You are serving the Lord Christ. Yeah. Right? So remembering that when you're praying, okay, like I'm doing this to serve people, but because I love you.
Yeah.
Totally. Okay. And then the last one, just do.
Just do it.
There you go.
Do it. Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid.
That's what I was just thinking.
Just do it.
What if someone's afraid? They're going to mess
just
it up.
Just do it.
Just do it anyway.
Do it and mess it up. And then you say, wow. Well, at least that wall's not blank.
Yeah. This is literally my biggest problem is I get stuck because I'm too scared. Like I had a rug in here that I hated and it got disgusting and I was too scared to buy a new rug. And then I went with Patrice to Palette Pickers.
Yeah. Oh, Palette Pickers.
And we,
shout out
to them.
I love it.
It's awesome.
I don't think I bought the right rug, but I did it. I purchased it.
You know, I walked in your home and I said, wow, this is a really cool rug.
That's the first thing I said when I walked in a couple of weeks ago. I love
it. It is a new rug, but the whole point is that I was terrified. Yeah. So for almost I've lived here almost 2 years in October. I have not bought a new rug. And I always, cause I was too scared to do it. And then, so I just bought one and it's not the right vibe. Yeah. It's not the right rug, but.
Well, like we've already established, you can resell that sucker for way more than
way, way more. I can't vacuum it. It's like, I think that's the problem. I don't mind the coloring. I can't vacuum it.
Oh. Is that the brand, what brand it is?
Yeah.
It's like on Facebook or.
No, it's equivalent to like, a ruggable.
Ruggable.
Mm-hmm. And.
Oh. It's a washable rug. No pile.
It is. Mm-hmm. But you can't, it sucks up like as if you were trying to vacuum a towel.
Yep.
And so.
And you have a mat under it?
I know. I need to get a mat under it.
That might help. Because that's, I have one of these.
It would circulate some airflow.
It'll lift it up. So it's, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not science-y.
Magic.
But it just happens.
Yes. So just inquire.
Totally. But do. You did.
Yeah. Pray and then do it. I didn't pray about it, but I just did it.
You do.
Sorry, Lord.
And, well, the praying is the inspiration. Lord, help me think. Like, help me
with a creative outlet for this.
What do I want?
Maybe it was the Holy Spirit because I bumped into Patrice while I was there.
Hey.
At Palette Pickers.
There you go.
She was just there.
That was good.
And I was like, Patricia, how many times have we talked about coming here together? You tricked me.
Yeah. And there's often times where I'll do it and then I'll realize, okay, wait, I'm going to tweak this a little bit. Even like throwing something up on the wall and then weeks later and with the intention of rearranging if I didn't love.
Mm-hmm. It's so scary.
It's just the doing.
Yeah.
And there's so much, there's so much freedom.
As you're like, staring at my very blank walls.
She sees a blank canvas. She's like, ooh.
No, I see all the possibilities. But the do. I think that's really the biggest.
Yeah.
There's so many people that
do it.
Hesitate or are maybe you feel like, if I do it, then I've spent money or time, and then maybe I don't like but maybe you will like it.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you don't like it, you'll figure out, oh, actually, it's not this thing.
Yeah.
It would be this way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or like my sweet husband has moved furniture with me.
Oh, for sure.
So many times. So many times. And I could tell it used to bother him, but now he's like, no, I know that it's important, like to get it right.
Yeah.
And so he's so just,
sweet.
I know,
yeah.
I know, I love you.
He's like, Michael. I know you've inquired and prayed and it's now we're doing it.
It's the trying, it's the testing, it's totally. The doing. Yeah.
Totally.
So good.
That's awesome. All right. We're coming up on our last question.
But so I don't want it to be processing. Done. Yeah. I'm like, what else, Bronwyn? What else can you teach me? Okay. we've already kind of talked about two of these things, but if there's any more, you can add it in here. What scripture, book, sermon? We do not want to hear about podcast recommendations. What scripture, book, sermon, podcast recommendation can you give to our friends who may want to take a deep dive into all that we've talked about today?
Yeah, that's good. I really love this book, The Hidden Art of Homemaking.
It is so good.
The Hidden Art of Homemaking by Edith Schaefer is a really good book.
Maybe I need to reread it.
I feel like somebody else might disagree with me, but Edith is she's palatable.
Oh, yeah. That's a good word.
You know, I've read Frances and understood most of what I read.
Yeah.
But Edith is palatable. I feel like is in any great marriage, she's just like, she takes exactly all the convictions that her and Frances have, and then she's like palatable.
Yeah, I like it.
That's good.
So this one's so cool. She actually sketched, I believe, these are her sketches.
Yep.
That she sketches in the book. And I mean, I'm showing them right now, some of these sketches. So you just have to get the book so you can see. And and she puts her own little flair and, I mean, she's not like an incredible artist, but she did it.
She did it. Yeah.
And then the other book I mentioned was Spiritual Vocations. I love this book because every time I start to think, whether it's gardening or or cooking or, I mean, anything that I do all the time, mm-hmm. I think about God as the first. He made the first, he's the first of everything.
Everything. Yeah.
Right? Yeah. I think about the first pair of clothes, right?
Yeah.
And he made. And it's just cool to think about him as the first.
It isn't.
And anyway, so that's a good one. It talks about him as a maker. And he just crafts and creates and makes. And it is always inspirational for me to think about that. God is the first. I love the scripture. Every time I think about homemaking, when Jesus he's trying to encourage them. He says some pretty hard things, and then in John 14, and then he encourages them. He says, "I'm leaving you," which is kind of hard to hear.
Yeah,
you know. But then he says, "In my Father's house there are many mansions. Yeah. There are many rooms. And if it weren't so, I wouldn't say to you, I go and prepare a place for you." And I think about my home and as I'm doing and I'm creating and I'm being a homemaker, I think about that often. Like, the Lord is preparing a place for me, an mm-hmm. eternal place for me and other people too.
Yeah.
And as I'm inviting people into the place that I've prepared for them here, I have this wonderful opportunity to have them think about this eternal home mm-hmm. as well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, I love that scripture. And then there's one more scripture that I feel that Michael and I, as a family, as a couple and in our family, we think about when we think about our home is Hebrews 13:2. It says, "Do not neglect to show hospitality mm-hmm. to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares."
Yeah.
Isn't that fun?
Yeah, that's so cool.
You're like, your home is a place where you are you, and the you-ness comes out, and the thing that you, like the sermon that is inside your heart comes out, mm-hmm. and the Lord dwells with you there, and people come in, and all kinds of people come in.
Yeah.
Totally.
All kinds of people come in and see this, and you never know. You never know
who's coming in. My mom used to have that on a plaque on her dining room table, that verse.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Might be entertaining angels.
That is awesome.
Unawares.
That's so crazy.
Those are the scriptures that I think about and I hold when I'm creating and setting up a home.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I'm currently rereading through Ann Ortland. She has the three books on being a woman, and she has like the disciplines of the home, the heart, and then the mind.
Mm-hmm.
And you would think that the disciplines of the home is where she talks about homemaking, but it's not. It's the discipline of the home is actually like your convictions as a family, like mm-hmm. what do you stand for. But the one where she talks about like just like who you are as a woman, and she like gets into like homemaking and I think that the book is always really helpful.
So good.
It was, used to be an eye roll book for me because in Chi Alpha, it was like the Proverbs 31 woman back at Sam. Like people like, have you read that? The Gentle Ways of a Beautiful Woman. And you're like,
did you read it?
No, but I have reread it. Ann Ortland's one of my favorite authors. And so I've reread it quite a few times.
Ann Ortland. It's like sitting down for a cup of tea with your grandma.
That's exactly what it feels like. I was reading and I was like, you were in a different time because she calls a lady fat in that book and then stupid. In the first chapter, she says, maybe you're really fat, maybe you're really stupid. And I'm like, you would have got canceled in this day and age, but in your day and age, it is chef's kiss. And
what
I just,
the name of this book? I missed it.
It's The Gentle Ways of a Beautiful Woman.
It's like a compilation of three, yes. Right?
Yeah. If you get The Gentle Ways of the Beautiful Woman, it's all three books in one. It's a trilogy.
Yes.
But the first one is they're disciplines of different things, disciplines of the home, disciplines of the heart, and disciplines of you as a woman. But I really love Ann Ortland, and I think that's a really good book.
That's good.
That's a good suggestion. Man, okay. This is all really wonderful, Bronwyn. I'm like taking notes as
too
we
good.
As you talk on here. It's so wonderful.
Too good.
Thank you so much for carving out time.
Oh man.
Today.
Thank you.
If you had to leave our listeners with like one last piece of like,
I know, I literally am like, don't make this end.
I know. Like what to spur them forward in this, if they're feeling defeated, if they've listened to this and they're still like, there's no way. Like what is your one last piece of like, what's your last nugget?
That's good.
Mm-hmm. It's not a question we put on here. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. I think that you just keep in mind, like my dwelling place is what expresses me and all the things going on in my heart and what I value and expresses that. And so if I'm unsure, unclear of the things that I do value or I want to express, then you just spend time journaling, read your Bible, pray, and ask the Lord, what are the things that I should value?
Yeah.
And what do you value? You know, those.
Yeah.
And if you have that set, then you start to dream. You say, how do I transform this space to reflect, to be an expression of all the things that you've done in my heart and all the things that you're currently doing.
Yeah.
And you're doing in my family's heart and you're, all of those things you're expressing. So, first thing is, if you don't know, you got to get it sorted. Mm-hmm. And then second thing is, when you do find out, then you dream and you do.
Yeah.
You pray and you do.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
And that's trial and error. You might not like what comes out. And then you just tweak.
Yeah.
And you keep tweaking. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
And maybe if it's not your strong suit, you ask someone whose it is, you know? Like my front foyer area.
You ask your...
Yeah. What is that? What is it called? Landscape.
Ask your friends.
I'm not a landscaper, so I hit up Bronwyn.
You ask your friends. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, you ask your friends to help you see and...
Totally.
Yeah.
Dream
man. We're going to have you back at some point.
This was so fun. I feel so honored to be in your
home. We feel honored. Are you kidding? Thank you for saying yes
with
to
you guys.
Us.
Seriously. It feels so special.
Does feel so special.
Awesome. All right. Thank you guys for listening to this episode. And this was The Making of a Godly Woman Home Progress. And next week we'll be back with The Making of a Godly Woman Physical Progress.
I thought you were going to say body.
Body progress.
Body progress.
I didn't want to say body. So I was like, physical progress.
Physical progress.
What is it?
I don't know. We haven't decided yet.
Diet progress.
No.
Kitchen progress. Body progress.
Yeah.
We'll physical see. Progress. It's going to be some progress.
We'll have some progress.
Some progress.
In a different area.
And two guests.
That's right.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm excited to listen.
Ooh. We'll see you guys then. We won't see you. We'll talk to you then.
Hey y'all, thanks for joining us on Harvest, and don't forget to subscribe on Spotify so you're always up to date.
And come hang out with us on Instagram because you know we're always having a good time. And as always, thanks for listening.